This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
It's a very common question for either Shotchanim or for people that are Mesadrei Kiddushin. For Mesadrei Kiddushin, the question is many times, you'll have people that will come to get married and they're not religious. Now, when you come to get married when you're not religious, you have a problem because you are marrying two people that are going to leave the Avera since they're not going to keep the laws of Taharat HaMishpacha whatsoever. So when you marrying them, you bring them bringing them close together, that there should be Aver Avera. Are you allowed to do such a thing? And the question also for Shotchanim, can they make a Shidduch between two people like that? Well, you know they're not going to keep Taharat HaMishpacha since they're not religious. So is it better not to be Meshadech between them? Or are you allowed to be Osek? Maybe it's a mitzvah. So there's a few Sfarim that speak about those questions. We'll start with the Shidduchim. The Shidduchim really is a question that you'll find in the Meshiv Davar, the Netziv. He has this question beferush, and he goes to the Sugya of Lifnei Iver. And we're going to try to see a little bit if it's Nogea Alacha Lemaaseh today, because could be that today things would change very much from what the rabbi spoke a generation, two generations ago, and even more than that. And we'll see why. First of all, when we're dealing with the sugya of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mishol, which appears to be the problem over here. The problem with Lifnei Iver is that whenever you bring in somebody a Yisur, you are helping them violate Isur Torah, and you're violating with that Lifnei Iver. That is one, that seems to be the main issue over here. So now, we have the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Vav, that says that Lifnei Iver lo titen mechshol applies only Betrei Avre Denahara, which means you have a river in between you and the person that wants to violate the Isur. He can't reach the Dvar Avera. Let's say you have Yain Lenazir, Ervir Minachai to a Goy. You have a Dvar Isur. Let's say you have right now a Isur, a Taref sandwich, and the guy from the other side of the river asks you to please hand it to him. So the idea is that since he wouldn't be able to reach that sandwich without you, so therefore you're violating Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. But if it's Bechad Avra Denahara, says the Gemara, then you're not violating that Isur because he can take it himself. You're just making it easier for him to access it, right? But Lemaise, he could have it himself without your help. Therefore, you're not violating the Isur. The Gemara talks about over there in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav about selling behema to a goy. When you sell behema to a goy, and the goy needs that behema in order to be makriv the behema to Avodah Zarah, so therefore, when you do that, you're violating the Isur. The Gemara says two ways of violating the Isur. Either lo yishama al picha, which means whenever the goy will take it and he does Avodah Zarah, or even the goy that says divrei shvach to his Avodah Zarah, whenever he says the word of Avodah Zarah because of you, so you're violating lo yishama al picha. That's the very first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. That's where Tosfot explains the Isur of doing business with the goy 3 days before Yom Edem, and so on.
That's Lifnei Iver?
That's not Lifnei Iver. That's Mishum Harvacha, and that means that he's going to praise his God, and therefore you're violating Isur by that because he did it because of you. Second option of violating is Lifnei Iver, because you're giving him a behemah that he could be makrif to Avodah Zarah. He's also not allowed to be Oved Avodah Zarah. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. And because you're bringing it close to him, you're making it available for him, you violated the Isur of Lifnei Iver. And the Gemara says a nafkamina between these two Lashonot is if the Goy already has a behema to bring to Avodah Zarah. So Be'etzem, he's going to do that regardless. So Mishum Arvacha, he has. Mishum Lifnei Iver, he doesn't have. Okay, and the Gemara then goes through Tre Avra Denara and Chad Avra Denara. When the Gemara asks on that, Good. That is the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say over here, either you're violating Yisur of Lifnei or Yisur Deoraita, or you're not violating and it's Mutar. That's what the Gemara concludes here. But when you take a look at the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbat, where the Gemara brings you all the different options of Otsa'ah with the case of Ashir and Ani, Balabait and Ani, that the Balabait hands the loaf of bread to the Ani outside, and when the Ani brings the basket to the Ashir inside, and so on and so forth, sometimes the Gemara says that it could be that one of the two parties will not violate any Isur. Like, for instance, if the Ani has his hands open in Reshut HaRabim, and the Ashir takes out from Reshut HaYachid and puts it into his hand, so the Ashir did, the Balabai did Akira from Reshut HaYachid and Hanacha in Reshut HaRabim, so therefore he violated the Isur Torah, which is Akira and Hanacha by the Isur of Otsa. Masha'en ken da'ani did nothing. He was passive, and therefore he didn't violate any Isur. The Tosfot asks, but he should violate over here a Isur of, why does it say patur? It should be completely mutar. The answer is, because he violated an Isur called Mesayea. Mesayea is the Isur de Rabbanan, that although it's Bechad Avra de Nahara, which means the person himself has access to the Isur, but since you helped him out, Chachamim restricted, and they said, that is Asur to do such a thing, and if you did it, you violated the Isur de Rabbanan. Now, these two opinions, are you violating Isur de Rabbanan or Mesayah or not, seems to be a contradiction between Tosfot in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Gemara in Shabbat, and also the Rosh, Avodah Zarah and Shabbat. The Rama says that these are two different opinions, and therefore the Rama brings them both in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, in Yore Deah, by selling a goy, the Behema for Avodah Zarah. Okay? So he brings these two opinions. He says that the halacha lemaaseh would be that it's mutar. Just Bal Nefesh Yachmir. Up to here, we clear? What are we talking about up to here? We're saying that there is a Isur Torah called Lifnei Iver, you violate only Betrei Avre de Nahara. Only if it's two sides of the river, in other words, when he wouldn't be able to get to the Avera without you. Is there a Isur de Rabbanan in Chad Avra de Nahara, which seems to be that there's no Isur de Oraita whatsoever. Chad Avra de Nahara, which means he has access to it. He could have it. The sandwich is here. He just tells you, can you hand it to me? Right? It's on the table. It's on the other side of the table. Can you hand it to me? He said, no, chas v'shalom, I'm not giving you a Isur. So he's going to go and take it himself. So by handing it to him, are you violating anything? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah doesn't say anything about violating, and the Rosh and the Tosfot brings it the way it is, without saying any Isurim de Rabbanan. But Mashen ken the Gemara in Shabbat, that speaks about giving the Ani something, over there, Tosfot and the Rosh say that you're violating Isur Mesayah, Isur de Rabbanan. We have a contradiction, Tosfot and the Rosh, and we want to know how to be posek halacha altogether. The Rosh, again, the Rama brings both opinions la halacha. He says, lemaaseh, the halacha is to be mekel that there's no Isur Mesayah, Bal Nefesh Achmir. That's how he brings in Kuf Nun Aleph, in Yore Deah, in those halachot that speak about selling a behema to a goy when he needs it to Avodah Zarah. Questions up to here? Everything is clear, yes.
Just means helping?
Helping,
and
assisting.
Only
yes, definitely the Rabbanan, definitely not the Oraita. Now, we're going into the nitty-gritty, and that is the Shach. Famous Shach over there, if Kuf Nun Aleph. The Shach says that there's a difference between the two Gemarot. They're really not arguing. He comes to disagree with the Rama. On that Rama, the Shach says, no, it's not a machloket. It's not a machloket. The two opinions over there, that the Mordechi, that seems to be Mekel, and the Ran, and Tosfot, and the God Mordechi, that seem to be Machmir, they're not really arguing. They're not arguing. They're all agreeing. They're just talking about two different scenarios. They're talking about two different cases. They're not arguing whatsoever. What's the cases? Whenever you have a Mumar, that would be Mutar to help him out. Whenever you have somebody who's Israel kasher, you're not allowed to help him out. Mimeli says like this: the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that we're talking about over there, that you can help him out and sell it to him if it's Bechad Avra de Nahara and there's no Isur even Mesayah Midarabanan. We're talking about a Mumar. It's talking about Oved Kochavim over there. It's Mumar to bring a Korban. Mumar, you don't have a problem to help him out. The Gemara in Shabbat is talking about Israel Kasher. If you're helping out Israel Kasher, you violated the Isur Mesayah. This is the Shach. It's a very, very Yesodistic Shach because this Shach could be used in many different places when we're talking about Lifnei Iver to a Mumar. You have all that kind of cases of Mumarim that over there the question comes to Lifnei Iver, say there's a Shach that's Matir. You always use that Shach as a Snif Le'eter.
The Shach talks about Messiah or Lifnei Iver?
Oh, Shach is talking about Messiah, not Lifnei Iver. Yes, yes. Now, take a look at the Dagul Mirvava on the Daf, on the Shulchan Aruch. He explains a little bit more. He gives a little bit of understanding that we're talking about Beshogeg, not Bemezid, where the person does such a thing. He's mechalek between Shogeg and Mezid over there. We're not going into the Gul Mirvava. But I want to get you into that Shach. When we're talking about the case of Shatchanut, when the Shatchan brings and meets between two people, according to that Shach, you'll have a leniency because they are mumarim. If you have two mumarim, you want to be meshadech between them, it seems to be mutar. That's how some of the poskim want to take it, that since you have the chach, you could be mekel to be meshadech between the two. Now remember, the Magen Avraham argues on that chach. There's a Magen Avraham in Ilchot Eruvin, in Shin Mem Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down over there, in Seif Katan Zayin, the Magen Avraham says that there's no difference between Mumar and not Mumar. What's the difference? You're not allowed to help them out to make Isur. You have somebody that comes to do Isur. You even have a mitzvah to be mafrish from the Isur. You have to take away the Isur from him. You see somebody that's ready to eat a cheeseburger, you have to try to stop him. Even more so, you're not allowed to help him out eat the cheeseburger. You're not allowed to hand it to him. So, therefore, the Shach says, the Magen Avraham says, there's no chiluk between Mumar and She'eno Mumar. Yes.
So with a Shatchan, though, isn't it on two sides of the river? Because how is he going to meet her without him?
Rabbi Buels is ahead of the game. Oh. Now, the Chavot Yair and the Binyan Zion also go with the same mahalach of the Magen Avraham, the saying there shouldn't be a chiluk between somebody who's mumar and somebody who's not mumar. Both should be asur. Okay? So let's get this straight. We have over here machloket. This shach that we want to be mekel whenever there's a mumar, and therefore maybe over here allow such shiduchim. There's many poskim that disagree with the Shach altogether. They say there's no chiluk between Mumar and not Mumar, the Binyan Zion, the Chavot Yair, and the Magen Avraham on the head of everybody, as the Mishnah Berurah points it out. Okay? So they say a different chiluk, and listen to that chiluk. We have to understand those chilukim very well. These are the yesodot of Lifnei Iver. Comes the Binyan Zion and says that when do you have a Yisur of Messiah? Messiah is only when you want to do the Isur right then and there. So he asked the question, can you, for instance, I'll give you an example. You have an apartment you want to rent. So now people are coming to rent the apartment. You see that there's people that are not so religious. Right? And you know that if you give them the apartment, they're not going to keep Shabbat. So they'll do violations of Shabbat in your apartment. Are you allowed to rent them the apartment, make the place available? Could be they'll do other isurim in the apartment. You could do all kind of different isurim. So you have an apartment available, and you're renting it out. Are you obligated to rent it only to somebody that's going to keep Torah and Mitzvot in that apartment? Or you can rent it to anybody. Now, there is a isur, side isur, to bring Avodah Zarah into your house. And the Gemara in the beginning of Psachim speaks about that isur of Lo Te'avita To'eva El Betecha. If a goy, let's say, would bring his Avodah Zarah, his Buddha idol, into the house and start bowing down to it. So the Gemara is tole that if Schirut Kekinyan Dami, which means at the time that he rents from you, it's considered like it's not yours anymore, or not. And lemaaseh, there's two lashonot in the Shulchan Aruch that seems to contradict in two different places in Choshen Mishpat. But whatever it is, when we're talking about our case, when you rent the person, the apartment, now it's available for him to do a issur. So therefore, maybe you're violating Lifnei Iver. Good? Are you violating Lifnei Iver?
No.
Why not?
Because once he pays the money, he's taking control over
you're taking control, but you paid you the money. Just like you, let's say you ask you for a hamburger, a cheeseburger. You tell him, fine, but it's $5. So once he paid you $5, it will be mutal.
He's able to do this somewhere else.
He can do it somewhere else. So that is true, but we're talking about Isur Mesayea. So that means, although he could have rented a different apartment somewhere else, but by the fact you're helping him out, making the place available, then you're violating Isur Mesayea. That's what we said right now.
Does that even help? It's also the fact that it's at a different time, like Rav mentioned.
But oh, so we get to that. That's
if
good.
If Shimon is renting to Reuven, Shimon can't go into Reuven's house anytime he wants. Is it?
Fine, but you made it available. You made it available for him. Made it available for him.
A Gemara, the same Gemara in Avodah Zarah.
No charge for that.
One of the rabbis said the house was built before the Avodah Zarah. So it's not like really... You could bring it in regardless, no?
That's the Isur Mesayeh. Although somebody can bring it in regardless, there's a Isur Mesayeh. So let me tell you what the Binyan Tzion says, and this is a Yesod in Ilchot Lifnei Iver, in Ilchot Mesayeh. The Binyan Tzion says that in order to violate the Isur, you need to violate the Isur right then and there, as I explained to you before, which means if he walks in and violates the Isur immediately. You gave it to him, boom. Then he violates the Isur. Then you're violating Mesayah. But otherwise, if he does it later on, there's no Isur of Mesayah. So therefore, when we're talking about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that you're handing the Korban to the Goy to take it to be Makriv, he doesn't do it exactly now. He takes it the next day, another 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. So therefore, there's no Isur Mesayah. Masha'en can win. You gave the ani that made it available for the balabai to put it in his hand happens right there. And therefore, there's a Isur Mesayah. So it comes out that all these gemarot, that for instance, lo yoshit adam yain lenazir, lo yoshit ever minachai leoved kochavim, and so on, those things, the person wants to violate the Isur immediately. If it's so, there would be Isur Mesayah. If not, there would not be a Isur Mesayah. So therefore, says the Binyan Tzion, in renting a place like that, where people would violate the Shabbat, let's say, there's no Isur Mesayah. Comes the Mashiv Davar, the Natsiv, and says, therefore also, you can make Shiduchim for people that are not going to keep Taharat HaMishpacha. Why? Because at the time you do the Shiduch, is way before they're going to get together, right? And therefore, there's no Isur to be Meshadech Shiduchim. Nice? This is the Meshiv Davar is a very, very, that seems to be like the first one that really spoke about the case, and therefore that's something, that's a posek that everybody uses when it comes to the dinim of Shiduchim. Yeah?
When is it considered to actually make like a kinyan for the Shiduch? By the wedding, or?
Okay, whatever it is, but without that, we're talking about Lifnei Iver right now. Lifnei Iver means you getting them together. So therefore, once you're getting them together, that's you making it available for them to start violating Isurim. They're not keeping Taharat HaMishpacha, and therefore, I would say that such a thing would be asur. Says the Meshiv Davar that it's not asur because it's only Isur Mesayeh, as we explained before. And you're only doing it, you're bringing them together, but they're only going to start violating Isurim later on, therefore it's mutar. Now, not everybody agrees that you would be over on such things, only on those conditions, because Rashi and the Ran don't go with this Mahalach. Rashi and the Ran seems to be oser regardless the Isur of Mesayeah, even if it's going to be later on. They completely osel. And therefore, the Meshiv Davar says a different answer that we can say for Rashi and the Ran, and that's how he posek halacha lemaaseh. And that is, there's no isur lifnei iver, or there's no isur meseya, to be more correct, whenever you're getting paid for it. When you're getting paid for it, it would be mutar. He learns that because we found in other places that Chachamim allowed the isur of meseya, mishlum shlom abriyot, and things like that. He says this is not any difference when you have such an interest that this is your parnasa, that's your income, you're getting paid for it. It would be, such a thing would be mutar. I once saw also the same svara from the Maril Diskin, that whenever you're getting paid for something, there's no isur of lifnei iver. Mimele de shatchan, if he doesn't do it, mesaya. Mimele de shatchan, that does l'shem shamayim, wouldn't have that kula, right? When a person does l'shem shamayim, you're not getting paid for it. So therefore, even if they give him a gift afterwards, but he doesn't do it for the money, he does it l'shem shamayim. So if the intention is to do l'shem shamayim, the Meshiv Davar wouldn't help you over here. You can't do shidduch between the two, because that you don't have the parnasa aspect.
Wasn't there a kosher kind of
thing? No, because we're talking about parnasa. Unless you want to tell me that there will be some kind of tina against you, some kind of anger against you, so maybe that goes into the original heter that we said, that kvod abriyot.
What about Hannah?
Should all put it zvara, that if anyone is going to be over the Yisur, the fact that they're going to get married is one day going to come out of mikvah.
So we say, we'll touch, which first going into the Yesodot HaAlacha, then we'll go into different Svarot.
And this criteria is only applies to Messiah, the fact that they're getting paid? That's a kula only for Messiah?
Only Messiah. But the Yisur Deoraita you can't play around with. Yisur Deoraita is something solid, that either it's Bechad Avra Denara or Betre Avra Denara, you can't move that. You can't start saying Svarot to be Mekel in Yisur Deoraita. It's a Yisur Deoraita, it's a Sur finish.
And what's the Svar that, why are we more lenient when you're paying? Why does that make a difference?
Because he wants to say such a Svara, you could argue, but there's Adam Gadol. He says that it's not any different than Kvod HaBriot. So it seems like in some cases there were matir for the need of a person, whether it's Kvod HaBriot for the other person, or Kvod HaBriot is also for you. You want to have some kind of good relationship with the person. So therefore, for such a thing that you're getting paid, could be it's on the same level and you could be matir. This is the Meshiv Davar. Okay?
Yeah, lav dafka if you need.
Yeah, if you're doing it for parnasa, you don't need to have to need. You're getting paid for it. No, we're not talking that's your main job. Whenever you're getting paid for it, which means you're doing it for the purpose of parnasa. When a person goes to work in the morning, it doesn't mean that he needs the money. It means that he's going to work because he wants to make money. Right? You're allowed to make money. Some people think you're not allowed to make money. Judaism doesn't have anything against money.
So you gotta give a barber would be able to give a guy cut off his pay out, you ask him to?
That's Yisur Deoraita.
Well, why? He could do it himself.
So you're saying it's Messiah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So kid.
What about Hana?
No, the guy comes, I want to give him the kid, the father pays the kid.
There's the aspect of that as a payment, no? So if he has Hana after, he's not getting paid with money, he's getting paid.
He can't do it himself.
Is that considered?
Oh, no.
So we'll touch on that. So now, yeah. This is the kula that the poskim bring down. If you want to see the poskim that speak about shiduchim for ovrei avera, they bring the Meshiv Davar, that's matir, either because of the first reason we said that it's bechad avra denara, he could take it himself, he could do it himself, and could be because he's a mumar. And also, you have another kula, and that is called getting paid. The problem with that is that it doesn't really apply, halakha lemaaseh, could be back then, but today, it doesn't really help us, because, as Rav Mordechai said, this is only in the Isur of Chad Avra Denara. But is it really so easy for a person to get a shidduch? Kashe zivugam shel adam, zivugo shel adam kekriyat yamsuf. Is it only for the religious people, or also for the mumarim? Doesn't seem to be that the mumar has it so easy that it seems like they also need to go through some kind of kasher zivugam zivugo shel adam. And the proof to that is that there's a shatran involved. So you see that he needs the help of a shatran. Today, shatran is more for a person in the non-frum world, in the non-religious world. Shatran is like a low grade. You don't go to a shatran. You meet somebody outside. You don't meet somebody through a shatran. That's like a religious concept, shatran. You have something that, right? Where do you have shatran in the non-religious world or in the Gosha world? Somebody who's not able, wasn't able to do it himself, who doesn't have it so available. It's not so easy for him. So therefore, we say he gets shatranim involved. So this person that we're talking about that needs shatran over here, and the girl that needed the shatran in the non-frum world, in the non-religious world, in the Goyish world, it seems like, you know, he's under the episode of Kasher Zivugo Shel Adam, right? And therefore, this is called Trei Avre De Nahara. If you have a Trei Avre De Nahara, you don't have any of the kulot that we said before. Not Mumar, that the Shach spoke only in Mesayeh. Not Chad Avre De Nahara, as we're saying right now. Not getting paid, which is only a din of umar. Mimele comes out that there's no heter to do shiduchim for such people. So shatran that meshadech between these people doesn't have that any of those kulot. The only thing that we can think about is maybe Rav Steinbuch. He wants to say some kind of idea. But before I'll tell you what he says in Tshuvot V'Hanagot, Chelek Aleph, he brings in Siman Tafshin Lamed. I'll tell you another thing that's fascinating that he brings down. This is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, but the way he twists it very nicely. The Gemara says the following thing. There's a pasuk, lo tin'af, that Chachamim learned that it means lo tan'if. The Gemara says the following. Azara le'okev achar no'ef, minalan. How do you know you're not allowed to bring a girl... to a man for ni'uf, for avera? Rashi says, "De asur liot apotropus le'argil la'acherim nashim le'ni'uf." You're not allowed to bring women to men for ni'uf, for doing avera. Where do we know that it's asur? It says in the Torah, "Lo tin'af," and Chachamim learn from that, "Lo tan'if." Not only you have that isur, but also the shadchan, the middleman that puts them together, brings them close, that also a violation of Torah. But that is a violation by itself. That is the isur by itself. That's not talui in lifne'iver, which means whatever you're going to say on lifne'iver, lifne'iver means other person over isur, so you also get a isur because of that. That doesn't mean that. That's a isur atzmi. Lo tin'af, lo tan'if means you're not allowed to do it without any of the kulot that you might find in lifne'iver. You're not allowed to bring what? Asur liot apotropus la'argil la'achirim nashim le'ni'uf. These people that you bring in together, that's called Largil Nashim Leniuf, because they are violating the worst Isur of all, Isur of Nida, that has the punishment of Karet. And therefore, by doing that, you're violating this Isur of Lotin'af, Lotan'if. With that, we're pretty much stuck with Shiduchim to Chilonim, to non-religious, right? But Rav Steinbuch says an idea, and I'll tell you where else he brings the same idea. Rav Steinbuch says a chidush in Ilchot Shabbat. He says, are you allowed to invite a mechalel Shabbat to your house on Shabbat where you know that he's going to drive, right? You call him up, my dear friend, you want to come to Shabbat? He says, yes, but I can't sleep by you. So you tell him, why not? I'll prepare for you a bed, a room. He says, no, I can't. I have to go back. Okay? But it's not a walking distance. That's a problem. He comes from Staten Island. So therefore, you know he's going to drive on Shabbat, 100%. He's going to drive on Shabbat or drive back. So are you allowed to invite him to your house? Rav Moshe says, it's asur. Rav Eliashiv says, it's asur. Rav Moshe says, you can't, even if you're inviting him for the purpose of bringing him close, kiruv, it's still asur. Because you can't teach a person kiruv with isurim. You can't teach him. You can keep Shabbat. By keeping Shabbat, you could also do some isurim on the way. That's fine for the purpose of keeping Shabbat.
You know for 100% he's going to go.
Yeah, if you know he's going to drive. That's what Rav Moshe and Rav Eliashiv say. But Rav Steinbuch brings down a kula like this. He says that lifnei iver really means that you are doing something against him to hurt his ruchniut. But if what you're doing right now is not for the purpose of hurting his ruchniut, rather to fix his ruchniut, that could be that it's mutar. He says it's just like going to an operation where the doctor cuts you. So although he's cutting you, he's doing damage, he's hurting you. But it's for the big picture is he's trying to save you. He's trying to do something good for you. And therefore, just like that will be okay. Over here also, he says, lifnei iver means that the whole thing is bad. But if what you're doing right now, the small picture of it is big, is bad. But the big picture would be okay. It's like, chalel alav shabbat achat, al menat shishmor shabbatot arbe. As the Shulchan Aruch brings down halacha lemaaseh, right? So over here, we can say the same idea. Take a look in the end of Shin Zayin. So over here, we can say the same thing. Over there, the Tosfot brings down that whoever bito, his daughter, was taken by mumarim, by goyim, that they were taking her away, he is obligated to go and run after and be mechalel Shabbat to try to save her. In order what? What's the heter? If you save her, she's going to keep Shabbat. So chalel alav Shabbat achat, it's better to violate one Shabbat than to let her go, and then she's not going to keep any more Shabbatot. It's the same idea over here, he says. The same logic he applies over here as well. He says like this. He says that the fact that you're giving him shiduch, you need to know what's the purpose of the person getting a shiduch. Is it good for his ruchniut? Or not. If, let's say, right now, by doing that shiduch, you're saving the person from maybe marrying a goya, then on the big picture, it's good. What's better, to marry a Jew and you're going to violate the issur of Taharat HaMishpacha, or to marry a goya when you don't violate that issur, right? The person that goes with a goya violates Pashtut, in Avodah Zarah Lamed Vav, you'll see over there a breakdown of what he violates, right? There's a machloket, Rav Shimon and Chachamim, does he violate Lotit Chatenbam? Is it only Shiva Mamim or others? And machloket Rambam and other poskim. And if not, then it's only Sur de Rabbanan that Chachamim made of Nashgaz and
But isn't the difference, it's apples and oranges. By the Shabbos case, You're preventing more chilul Shabbos. Over here, you're doing one iser to prevent a different type of iser.
True, but I'm saying in the big picture, in a big picture,
we don't know which iser. No,
but the big picture. But the picture is the logic is that you look at the big picture. What's better for his ruchniut? So normally you would say, I would say, right? If you take a look at the two scenarios, marrying a goya, marrying a Jew, when you're not gonna keep taharat hamishpacha. By a goya, you're violating probably only the Rabbanan, right? Of Nashgaz, Nida, Shekhova, Goya, Zona, which are all the Rabbanan, as Rashi and Tosfot explains over there. And by a Jewish girl, you're violating Isur Nida every time. That's karet, that's much worse. So Mishneh Lachot says such a logic that's very simple. The Rambam says that it's a very big Isur to marry a goya. Why? What's the issur by marrying a goya? Where did he find that it's such a big issur? Because he says, your kids are going to be goyim, you lose your trend, you're not going to have any more tzetzaim. So we look at it in like it's called tzvei dinim. There's two dinim over here. One din is when you take a look what's worse in the alachot of the Torah, being with a Jew that's nida, that is worse. But you're not really, when you take a look at what you're doing worse, as not right now, is this halakha nogea, but normally, at large, what's worse? Marrying a goya, you're losing out everything, right? So it's like winning the battle and losing the war, right? So when we're dealing with just looking at the halakha itself, being with a goya is probably better than being with a Jewish girl. But at large, you're over here, you're losing much more. And therefore, better that they should be together, then maybe she would marry or he would marry a goya and they'd be lost forever. This is much worse. Coming back to us, we're saying over here that also you have to look at the Ruchniut, says Rav Steinbuch, of these two people you want to marry together. What's going to happen if not? Is this going to help the Ruchniut somehow, or it's going to be worse for the Ruchniut? Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. Today, you have a large amount of people that do Teshuvah. Their parents were Mechalel Shabbat, the Bnei Nidot, but they do Teshuvah. So therefore you see that these the rabbi that married them, or the Shadchan that got them together, in the long run, it was a good thing, because now you have children that Baalei Teshuvah, Tzadikim, you have all kinds of people. Where if they would marry a goy, and you say, oh, let them marry a goy, where the Isur itself is not violated so much, then they would not, those kids usually don't do Teshuvah, the goyim. They live with the goyim, and that's it. You don't see them anymore. So therefore, that's better. That's how Rav Steinbuch looks at it. If that is the case, you look at things, this is the outlook, how you look at things, then you can apply that to the first Isur also, the Isur of Lifnei Iver, and the Isur of Lotin Af, Lotan If. This is how it brings down. So if one wants to do Shiduch, he should not look whether I'm getting paid or not, because that's not going to help me in Lifnei Iver. That helps only Messiah. He shouldn't look that this is a Mumar. He shouldn't look that it's a Chad Avra Denara, because it's not in any way Chad Avra Denara. This person that you don't give him the Shiduch, he might go for a long time until he finds another Shiduch. So therefore, when you're making it available for him, that could be problematic. Now, this is when we're talking about Shiduchim. When we come to the second picture, and the second question, when we're dealing with the rabbi that does Sidur Kiddushin, very common, every person that's not religious, when he wants to get married, he always finds rabbis that would marry them, right? How are you allowed to marry them? When you're marrying them, you're causing them to violate the same thing. So over here, there's some rabbanim that said that this is asur, you're not allowed to marry them. Rav Chaim Zonnfeld brings like that. When the Chazon Ish was asked, he says that, well, you want to marry a sister and a brother together, which means he looked at it. What's the difference between this Isur of Nida and the Isur of a brother and a sister getting married together? You're not allowed to marry them, Gendik, finished, that's it. This is how also the Chalkat Yaakov, Braish brings down that it's Asur, unless you think they're going to get married by the reforms or by people that are worse. So therefore, only then you could be Mekel, but otherwise you can't be Mekel marrying them. It's asur to marry them. Today, the anhaga is that you could marry them, but you tell the kala that you should go first time to the mikveh. Why? Because we have the meshiv davar that we mentioned before, that as long as the isur is not right then and there, immediately, right after the wedding, because now she's told, you have no problem. And in Eretz Yisrael, they even have to bring a certificate that she went to the mikveh, and therefore, good.
But in this case also, if they don't get married, they'll still be together.
Oh, so that's what we're saying now. We're saying that could be that this case of marrying them together, that's a much better case. And that's the svara you wanted to use, Rav Elos. The what? That over here today, time and age, could be that it's very different than what used to be. Why? It used to be a generation ago, two generations ago, the more you go back in time, that when a man or woman wanted to get married in the Jewish world, I don't know about the Goyim, even if they wouldn't be religious, but they would wait after the marriage until they'd be together, not before. That was just normal respect that they had one for another. Today's generation, it's one in a million. It doesn't happen today when people meet each other, right? And they go out together, they like each other, they're not religious. So what stops them? It's not anymore done that way, right? So therefore, by marrying them, you're not preventing, you're not introducing the Isur. You're not bringing the Isur. It's already there, and they're already probably, most likely, violating the Isur. So therefore, by marrying them, you didn't add any more Isurim. Now, I want to say more than that. It's almost not shaykh for two non-religious people before they marry that she should go to the mikveh. Why should she go to the mikveh? I'm saying she'll make such a calculation that she'll go to the mikveh, she'll be tall. They don't think along those lines. Nobody thinks along those lines in the non-religious world. What do they care about being tall? If they're violating being together, so they'll do it regardless whether she went to the mikveh or she didn't go to. She doesn't go to the mikveh. But once they get married, you'll be surprised, but there's very, very much people that are not religious. They don't keep Shabbat, but the woman goes to the mikveh. So therefore, why? What's the logic? She got married, so she feels that's what you do when you get married. They feel the importance of it. She wants to do what's right. Maybe that's what her mother did. So she, whatever it is, she, before they get married, it's anyway know that they're not supposed to do isur. So now they're gonna manipulate the system and go to the mikveh. They don't think along those lines. That's like lom deshtiko. They don't think along those lines, right? But once she got married, they want to do things right. Many people want to do things right. Not all, but many people want to do things. Not only that, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Even HaEzer Cafe, the Rama brings down from the Rosh that, Kafav, that you don't let a woman that's not married go to the mikveh. That's what it is. So therefore, a woman knows she goes to the mikveh and the mikveh lady is going to ask her, was your husband this? Or she knows her. Maybe somebody over there will know her. It's very uncomfortable. She's not married. She's going to the mikveh. I'm very uncomfortable. So therefore, she's not going to go. Even if she makes the shtikol Torah, we said, but she's not going to go because she doesn't want to meet somebody there. She doesn't want the balanit to tell her, don't come. But after she's married, it's a very, very common thing. It's a normal thing. It's something if anything, they'll praise her for coming. So therefore, that itself would be incentive for her to go to the mikveh. So that's a very, very important thing. That you, by getting them married, really could be that you're helping them out. Keep Taharat HaMishpacha. If up to now the Isur was there, and it's Chad Avra Denara in that case, but even more so, maybe over here, not only you're introducing a Isur, but you're taking away that Isur. But you're taking away much more than just that Isur. Let me tell you. What's the Isur of a man and a woman that's not being married to be together? According to the Rambam, the Isur of... There's a Isur that the Torah brings down, that one is not allowed to be beisur with a woman. Lo yeh kadesh, lo tiyeh kadesha. And machloket rishonim, all the rishonim argue what it means. Unkelus brings down it means to be with a shifcha. Rashi brings down like this. The Ramban, that maybe it means mishkav zachor. Maybe it means that a woman that's Yoshev Bekubashels or not, all different kind of opinions in the Rishonim. But the Rambam learns that it means to be with a woman without Kiddushin. Now there's a big machloket what the Rambam means. Does it mean that she's meyuchedet for him also, or only when she's not meyuchedet for him, which means he has a girl that's considered his girl, right? What they call today girlfriend. So that could be that doesn't violate that Isur. But there's a machloket over that. That's Aruch HaShulchan. The Gra brings differently. So there's a machloket how to learn that Isur of Lo Yekadesh that the Rambam brings. But many, many learn that Lo Yekadesh means without Kiddushin. Without Kiddushin, they're not allowed to be. The Shulchan Aruch is posek like the Rambam alacha lemaaseh. So by you marrying together, so you didn't take away, you didn't introduce the Isur of Nida because they were violating this very, very likely beforehand. But not only that you didn't introduce the Isur, but you took away Isur of Lo Yeh Kadesh. That's first of all. Secondly, there's a Isur Ichud that they have when they meet each other. Now, after marriage, they're not violating Isur of Ichud, right? And especially if she went to the mikveh first time. So she's muteret with Ichud. There's no Isur of Ichud anymore, right? There's raid on that also. Some want to say that. Not like that, but this is the Pashtut Halacha. So there are a few Isurim over here that you've taken away. Therefore, according to that, it would be very nice that one that wants to be Mesader Kiddushim, that's completely Mutar, seems like that. There is something that brought down in Tosfot Rabbeinu Elchanan, Avodah Zarah Daf Bet. He brings down, what if the Goy that we spoke about before that wants to bring a korban to Avodah Zarah, and we said, since he has already a korban, you're not violating Lifnei Iver. You're violating what? Mesayah. Or maybe not violating Mesayah, as we explained before, that doesn't apply altogether over here. But let's say he comes to you and he tells you, I want to buy from you a behemah for a korban da avodah zarah. You tell him, what do you need one? You have one. I see outside. You have a behemah already. He says, no, I want to bring two. You want to bring two. So says Rabbeinu Elchanan, that in that case, you violate lifnei iver. Why? Because for the second one, it's trei avodah d'nahara. He's going to bring the first one, but he wants another one. He doesn't have it yet. So therefore, over there, you're violating lifnei iver. That's what he says. According to that, over here, although could be they were violating nida beforehand, but it wasn't that much. It's not when two people are not married. He's in his house, in his parents' house. She's in her parents' house. It's not so common, but now they're going to live in the same house. You're bringing them together much closer. And therefore, could be, according to Rabbeinu Elchanan, he would be, right, one of the Rishonim, he would be over on Lifnei Iver in that case. So therefore, according to that, maybe you shouldn't be marrying them. But you need to know that many, many argue on his psak. It's brought down in Sefer Seder Yaakov that the Ritva, the Meiri, the Raived, all argue on him. They say that it's enough that they already have the Isur beforehand, that they have the Isur, that even if you bring in more of the Isur, you're not violating Lifnei Iver. According to that, although they were violating beforehand, but bringing more of the Isur, bringing them closer, that they'll be violating more Isur, would not be violating Lifnei Iver. Comes out like this, Halacha Lemaaseh. Bottom line, Shatchanim, big problem. Unless you know that it's a good thing for them, for the Ruchniut. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen. And also there's a chance that maybe once they get married, then maybe you'll get a little bit stronger, she'll get a little bit stronger, this, that. Before people are married, they're like, you know, the wild people, they do whatever they want, they're free to do whatever they want. But once they get married, they're stable in a house, so then there's more shayachut that they'll keep Torah and mitzvot. If that's the outlook and really that's the way it is, so maybe you could be mekel, or if they'll go and marry goyim, you could be maybe mekel. But when we're dealing with the Isur of what? We're dealing with the Isur of the Mesader Kiddushim, putting them together, marrying them together, over here it could be that you could be mekel for few reasons. We're saying that it's only a Isur Bechad Avra Denara. It's not Re Avra Denara because today people don't keep right? Negiah, Shomer Negiah. It's not something that non-religious people do. I don't think they do that, right? And somebody who's not religious is not Shomer Negiah. But after they get married, then there could be that you bring them closer to keep Taharat HaMishpacha. As I told you, that many, many people that don't keep even Shabbat go to the mikveh. They keep that halacha. And even without that, it's only Chad Avra Denahara. So we go back to be mekel in different scenarios, as we explained before, whether you're getting paid for it. Mesader Kiddushin normally gets paid. So it would be the heter of the Meshiv Davar, or you could be mekel with the mumar, or you be mekel with other things that we said before. So that since the isur is not right then and there, it's going to be a little bit later, as we explained from the Binyan Zion, right? So over here you have this kulot. Also, you're taking away surim over here. You're taking away many surim, as we explained. You're taking the lo yekadesh, and you're taking off the yichud. And it could be that there's discussion over there in Siman Kavav that the Taz bring down, that maybe a woman that meyuchad to you, which means you didn't even marry her yet, but it could be that it's under the Isur of being with a woman without a ketuvah. Is it only for a kala belo bracha, sura lebaala, kala belo ketuvah, right? So those things, is it only for a kala, for a married woman, or even could be that it's for everybody? Discussion over there in the Taz and other poskim. But you're taking away surim, it could be that's the reason one can permit it today, even according to the restrictions that they said in Gdolei Ador in the previous generations, the Chazon Ish, for instance, and the Chaim Zonnefeld we mentioned. But that because back then, if you wouldn't marry them, it wouldn't happen. So up to the time you're marrying them, they're not violating anything. But today, that since it's the Dor Parut, could be that they would be also agreeing that such a thing would be mutar.
why isn't there Shavi Al Taisa over here? You have both ends, so just don't do anything.
Well, Shavi Al Taisa you apply only when you have a safek. Over here, we're saying Svarot to be Mekel or Svarot to be Machmir. So, well, anything in the world is Safek. But Safek means that you have a Safek Shakul and you don't know what to do. But over here, we know what to do. Either you ask those that are Osrim would say that it's Asur. Those that are Mekilim would say that it's Mutar. If you have a Safek, like you're breaking your head and you don't know what to do because the two Sfekot really are by you, like Safek Shakul, and you don't know what to do. So then apply Sheva Al Taisa. But as long as that didn't happen, you don't have Sheva Al Taisa.
According to the Binyan Tzion, you don't even need to tell the Kala the first time, just go to the Mikvah, right? Because you're doing the Sidur Kiddushin right now, and they're only going to be together.
So the Binyan Tzion didn't really give you a time frame of how long it's considered right away. We can argue that part. Whether it is right away or not.
Only because Rabbi said that by the animal, the guy is not going to do it. He's not going to be makriv it then and there. He could give it 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah, I said that, but could be that he would say no. The guy would be makriv that the next day. Uh-huh. So I'm saying you could argue. You could argue what it means.
Also, they're afraid of saying getting people closer together. But what if nowadays you'll see with the less religious that
that's
the people
it.
Come together on their own and live together before they get married.
That's it. Well, that's what we said exactly. Well,
the next thing is, if it's somebody that there's no chashash that he's going to be going off with a goya, could we rely? Because I'm saying that's the bigger picture. That's a big problem. You know, the kids are no longer Jewish. It's like the Rambam explained. But if it's somebody that you know, he's not religious, doesn't keep anything. But one thing he's going to do is he's going to marry a Jewish girl, right? So. Could we rely on some of the other things that we said? We can take away Isur Yichud and...
We're talking about right now Shidduchim?
Yeah.
So if you know for sure he's going to marry Jewish, so the Shidduchim means you're introducing the girl to him. He doesn't have anything now. He's now sitting home doing nothing. And now you introduce the girl to him, and you introduce the Isur to him. That's a problem.
How does the Rambam apply to the girl? Meaning the girl, if she goes off and marries a guy, her children will still be Jewish, though. So how do you
Well,
apply that
you need
that?
To know that halachically they're Jewish, but in practicality, if a Jewish girl marries an Arab, for instance, Lo Aleinu, like it happened so many in Israel, so the kids are confused because according to Jewish religion, the kid is Jewish. According to Islam, he's Arab. So he has a confused identity. So it doesn't mean that the Jewish kid usually goes and says, well, according to our Jewish halacha, I'm Jewish, he's going to follow his, you know, he's going to be, now he's going to go to yeshiva. Normally, they go after their father because he's more dominant. And that's it. Well, whatever it is, you're right that halachically he's Jewish, but the Rambam speaks in practical that this kid is lost. He's lost. You're not going to see him anymore. Most likely.
Would they be considered Tinok Shenishma?
That's not going to help Tinok
Shenishma later?
It doesn't help unless Yad Lachim gets together over here.
I'm not talking about
this kid is gonna be demonstrating by the Gaza border.
No, I'm not talking about
New York, where the husband won't care. The husband doesn't. He's not affiliated.
I'm not talking about Arab and Jew. I'm talking about Jew and Jew.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So these kids, I don't care about the halachic aspect of how to consider him, what title to give him.
This kid
eventually could make the shuvah. Today it's very, very common, happens many, many times. When you marry them together, it could be that it's a good thing if you think that you might marry a goy, he might marry a goya. So marrying them together could be then, of Steinbuch says, it's a good thing because maybe they'll start keeping something, and even if not, maybe their children. So you have to look and see, what's going to be better, what's going to be more beneficial for the ruchniut of this couple.
And what about if you know that they're not going to get a get if they end up getting divorced?
That's a serious problem. We're not getting into this problem. Serious problem. If you think it's a couple that you're marrying him today and next month they're fighting and he's not giving her a get, serious problem. Yeah.
Today we see so many stories that it's not going to marry a goya, so it's going to take her to reform and convert her like this.
But he's going to take this. But okay. We're talking in a case that we don't think he's going to do any of that. In case we know he's not going to do any of that. There's some people that they're not religious, but they you see the solid, I'm only marrying Jewish. Only marrying Jewish. They're very like idealistic.
And many of them in France, they were like this.
So if you have such a person, so maybe ani chanami for those people.
Rashi in the Masechet explained the Yisud HaRaita not to be apotropos.
Right. Rashi says that you should not be an apotropos. The Lashon of Rashi, להרגיל לאחרים נשים לניאוף.
That's an apotropos la'arayim?
No. Apotropos means you're a middleman that helping out do a sur over here. Ashatchen, that's it. Chazak v'aruch.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.